You think you know who did it, but you don't know who did it, Law and Order.
Join us for These Are Their Stories. Each time we'll break down an episode from either Criminal Intent, SVU, or original Law and Order. Then we'll tell you about the Rip from the Headlines case that inspired the show. You never know what our guests are going to say.
I love Ice-T. Really, I do. I like him with anybody.
But seriously, how long does it take, Lai, to dissolve clothing in a bathtub? This seems like it would be like a month.
They want to go to the house to investigate an incest charge. I want to know, why are there so many cops searching the dining room?
Oh my God. When Liv was like, put every toll booth in the state, get every... I was like, oh, because she's white.
That's right.
Gotcha. Subscribe to These Are Their Stories wherever you get your podcasts.
You think you know who did it, but you don't know who did it. Law and Order, Law and Order. I could do the whole theme song. I have a dance that goes along with it. It's embarrassing.
A choreographed dance.
No, it's choreographed, but it's also like I give a lot of sassy looks.
So it's like a toddlers and tiaras choreography.
Yes.
Where you're like a sassy toddler.
Yes. And so if I'm like at a light in my car, then I do that. I'm walking by myself and I'm listening and that song comes on, then I do it as well.
You turn like over the shoulder sass, pretty feet.
Yeah. And then this next part's going to be really embarrassing. Is I've listened to myself on These Are Their Stories a few times because I make one joke that I really liked. I was really proud of. I was proud of the reaction that I got from Kevin and Rebecca. So I've rewound. I've listened to it a couple times. That's not weird.
Sometimes, hey, here's the deal.
That's not...
Life is long and hard and can be very sad, as we know from some of these Dateline episodes and from my own life. And so I'm telling you that if that makes you feel good, even for 10 minutes, and it's not an illicit drug, you do that thing. You rewind and you listen. I have no problem with that. I support you in that. Good for
you. Cut to me in a padded room in the fetal position listening to These Are Their Stories on repeat.
Oh. Well,
going,
I made Kevin
and Rebecca laugh. I made Kevin and Rebecca laugh.
Gosh. No, I made it nice and you made it dark. I'm done with you. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Is Katie.
This is Kimberly.
And you're listening to A Date with Dateline.
Promoted by our friends Kevin Flynn and Rebecca Lavoie from These Are Their Stories, a Law and Order podcast. If you haven't listened, why? We've both been on it. The best, but that's not the reason to listen to. I didn't mean it like that. You listen to the episodes that we're not on. Like, it's so funny. It's basically they do what we do, but to freaking Law and Order episodes, which are bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
It is
literally
good.
I listen to it every week. I can't miss it. It's like my comfort food. But just listen, guys, to These Are Their Stories.
Yes, definitely listen to These Are Their Stories.
We love them so much. They also host another little show called Crime Writers On.
You may have heard of it.
Yeah, I don't know. But, The Premonition. It aired November 15th, 2019, season 28, episode 8. Guess who's back? Back again. Queen Andrea's back. She had 19 babies.
Oh.
I don't know. It didn't rhyme.
She didn't have 19 babies.
She had her sixth. I almost just said seventh. Her sixth. She finally had her boy, and now she's back from maternity leave. We are rejoicing. All is right with the world, except nothing's right with the world, but just this one thing is right with the world.
But she looks as beautiful as ever, if not more beautiful, which is confusing and a miracle of science.
Because it's really not normal.
No.
So this episode is about John Yelnick. He was a 39-year-old dentist in Blairsville, Pennsylvania. This was in 2006 when this story took place.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with this little boy neighbor who's now grown up telling the story. Why'd you make that face?
Is it Jonathan Limpicki? Is that how you say his last name?
Yeah, it could have been Jonathan Limpicki.
Do you know Bees and Dogs Get Smelfier?
Is that him? It looked like him in the picture. In the picture, he's like a blonde buzz top with glasses.
But now he's grown up like a young Jonathan Limpicki.
And looks nothing like the little.
The human head weighs 8 pounds.
Yeah.
And he's ready to interfere in his mom's relationship with Jerry Maguire.
He looks nothing like. Yeah, I didn't like that about Jerry Maguire. Did Jerry Maguire get with her at the end because he wanted to be a father to Jonathan Limpicki?
No, that's why he broke. That's why she broke up with him, was because he was like too into the kid, not in a dirty SUV kind of Law and Order way, but in like he just really fell in love with this kid and wanted to be this dad. He never knew he wanted to before, but then he fell in love with the kid. So he really liked the family part of it. So she's like, I'm in love with this guy and he's really great. He loves my kid.
Yeah,
and
you're
he sure does like me a lot.
Oh, I just got goosebumps. Oh, God, I forgot about that.
So good.
But then he comes in and gives some sort of speech that I don't remember.
Is it the You Complete Me speech? Yeah. It's less good. Her speech is better, I think.
But You Complete Me is accompanied by a speech.
Well, You Complete Me is a throwback to something that happens earlier in the movie.
Right. But I'm saying it is at the end accompanied by him, like, saying other things. Right.
Yeah.
He doesn't just walk in the door. No. And then, yeah. But then that's the, she says, you had me at hello. That movie has like a ton of quotable lines. Sorry. Yeah. Just off the jump. Okay. Yeah.
Now, show me the Dateline episode. That was the worst segue ever. So this poor little boy goes next door to see if John's son can come out and play.
Oh my gosh.
And instead finds the most horrific bloody scene we've seen on Dateline, probably in quite a while.
Oh my
God. There's so much blood. There's shattered glass. There's John's dead body. Later we find out that there's so much blood that it's seeping through into the basement.
I couldn't believe they showed us that. I was like, oh, something happened in the basement? And then they're telling us, and she's like, that's how much blood. And I was like, I get it. I got the first time you said
finished,
it.
Yeah, exactly. I just finished watching American Horror Story Hotel, and there's like several scenes of blood dripping through the floor.
Stop.
Too much.
Why did you watch that?
I don't know.
You were just alone and were like, I'm going to start Hotel.
No, I just felt like I wanted to watch the seasons that I had never watched because there's a few that I had skipped.
Which ones did you skip?
Asylum, which I finally watched.
Oh, Asylum's Hotel. Intense.
And then I think I've seen all the others.
Hotel and Asylum are the two, like, I don't know. It's the, I mean, the opening episode of Hotel almost makes you not want to watch the rest of the season. I didn't.
I had watched the opening when it came out and then said, no, don't do that to the guy from New Girl. I'm walking away, sir. No, thank you. And then I powered through, no pun intended, considering what happens to
him. Yeah.
And then somehow finished the whole season and was left with more questions than answers. Plot holes abound.
But seriously, the ending of Hotel needed to end about two episodes before it did, period. But the Liz Taylor character is fabulous.
Yeah.
So well done.
Yeah.
Kathy Bates is really good. Gaga's... Sorry, this is not a critique show. I don't know why I'm going on about it. I'm curious now that you've watched about a couple of things you felt. If you guys want to hear any of our thoughts on American Horror Story, just, write in.
I don't know if they want to.
They don't. It's fine.
I wouldn't blame them. So this is a small town, and somehow between the 911 call and the first officer on the scene, they get the message, wires crossed, that it's a heart attack. So it kind of becomes a comedy of errors for a minute.
That's
in that
weird.
Everyone is showing up at this scene thinking it's a heart attack and then seeing the most gruesome scene they've ever seen in their lives, including the... Corporal Janelle Leidick, who's one of our main interviews.
There we go.
She thinks it's a heart attack. So for some reason, she drives over there with her husband and her four children in the car. Because
she
thinks it's a heart attack.
She's new on the job, too, right?
She's never had a homicide before.
What's a corporal?
I don't know. She's like a... We're going to get letters.
I've never heard that before is why I'm asking. And they showed pictures of her with a very specific hat. It made me think of Alice in Bake Off.
Yeah.
So she's a different kind of police officer, but
no,
I think understand
she's
it.
She was in the military service and now she's a detective.
So they call them a corporal. It's a different kind of ranking.
Maybe that title, carries over.
All right.
Like if I became a doctor, but then I also became a duchess. Because Queen Elizabeth said, like, I'm a dame. She made me a dame. So I would be like, Dr. Dame Kimberly.
No, you would be Dame Kimberly,
comma, MD.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's Dame Kimberly Esquire has a better ring, by the way. So go into law. Don't go into.
Okay. So she has her four kids in the car, and then it's like this horrible bloody crime scene. And that's so sad and was so traumatic for those kids. But I also think it's kind of funny. I don't know why. It's like, stay in the car, kids. Oh my God, stay in the car.
Because it's like the worst crime scene. It's not like somebody was shot. It's really, and they let you know how gruesome it is. They show the window several times.
Yeah, they're really into showing us the gore here. It's like a scene from Seven. So, small town, everyone is terrified. The reporter lady says things like that don't happen here, which is on the bingo cards.
Yes.
So mark it off.
Yeah.
She then says, do we lock our doors now? Yes.
I mean, always lock your door, right? Wait, just lock your door.
That's why doors have locks on them. Lock your doors.
I don't think that they used to. I mean, I think I get the point, but I mean, lock your door. Come on.
Still? In the 2000s? In the aughts? The early aughts? The early to mid aughts?
Don't. Oh, we're not in the aughts. We're almost in the 20s. We're in the teens.
We're in 2006 when this happened.
Oh, yeah. Okay. In the mid aughts. Yes. I don't know. But no, in Blairsville? No, in a town called Blairsville, no one locks their doors. Get real. It's the name of the town. You don't know. You don't.
So John's friends say that John was basically the life of the party. They don't say it. You can't mark it off your bingo cards. No. But they are heavily implying. He was in family dentistry. His partner was the family dentist growing up, which is very sweet. But also, who has the patience to be a dentist to crying, spazzing out little children?
Well, all I'm going to say is thank God some people do have that temperament and they want to do it. Because otherwise, what would we do?
No, I don't.
Who was your childhood dentist?
I don't know.
Mine was Dr. Mervis.
You remember?
Believe it or not. I don't remember much, but I remember that. And I remember that there was a toy chest. And I remember I was able to pick a toy.
My orthodontist had these hologrammed, large framed portraits of clowns. So
what?
They moved wherever you walked in the waiting room. Yeah.
Okay. Now, as an adult, I hear that and I feel like that was done on purpose.
Oh, yeah. I think so. Sick SOB.
This reminds me. So I went trick-or-treating with my little niece, and there was one house that we went to, and the guy answers the door, and it's just a guy, and it's this beautiful house, and he gave, you know those giant pixie sticks? The ones that are like wands?
Oh.
That's what he gave for trick-or-treat, and I like looked at him, because I was like, I see you, sir. You just gave a four-year-old a giant tube of pure sugar, not one tiny pixie stick, the jumbo pixie sticks. That's a jerk move.
Yeah,
I know what you're doing. And so we immediately were like, she's like, what is it? And I'm like, oh no, it's a wand. It's a stick. And I put like, I sealed the end.
She didn't know there was sugar inside.
No, she can't have that. Just no, nothing about that is okay. That's not all right. But I mean, seriously, that's the clowns.
Yes.
These people are doing it on purpose.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
John was very old school. He had an old TV. He didn't own a cell phone ever.
Wow.
What if there was a dental emergency?
Yeah, I had questions about that.
Did he have a pager maybe if someone broke their tooth?
Yes. They didn't say that, but I think it was implied that there was a pager.
He met Michelle, who was a Budweiser girl. Oh boy.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone at this party noticed John's new girlfriend when he first brought her around. And I kept thinking, because she's wearing a Budweiser dress? Like, you're not trying to blend in with that.
What are you trying to do for Budweiser? I don't get that. I get the ones for like Jägermeister and like some of the off liquors that you're trying to get people to like take a shot of whatever. But I don't get the Budweiser. I mean, they're popular. People drink Budweiser.
Yeah, they're already drinking it. Yeah. Everyone talks about how beautiful she was, like repeatedly, like a lot. I was like, okay, she's okay. She's cute.
She's pretty for 2008. No, she's pretty. She had a Snow White thing going. You didn't see that?
No, I did not. I saw a brown hair perm thing.
Yeah, she had brown curly hair, but very blue eyes.
Mm. Oh, okay. I like that. Yeah. So Michelle had two kids, and John always wanted kids. After 2 months, he bought her a 2-carat diamond ring, which I don't even know what that means. Can you explain to me?
Yeah, that's a big old mother. That's
like how big? How much money are we talking about? Is that like a Kardashian ring?
I don't know that much about jewelry, to be honest, but I think it's a lot of money.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So, no, but I mean, he definitely, but it was the cousin who I kept thinking was the sister.
I thought it was the mom.
No, Marianne.
In all of my notes, I wrote that she was the mom, and then I had to go back and write cousin.
Me too, because at the end, did you catch it at the end?
They said cousin, and
yes,
I was like,
yes, they said cousin, and
what?
I was like, wait, it's not the sister? Yeah, I was confused.
The mom.
No. So there, sorry, we get an interview with one family member, Marianne, who is apparently his cousin, but she had this like moment
slash
about
mom.
The ring. Yeah.
Cousin, mom, no. Cousin, was- mom.
She was very, she made kind of, it wasn't a face about, because she definitely made sure to keep a pleasant face the entire time, which we'll talk about. But she talked about the 2-carat ring, like not disapproving, but like it was a big ring. It was a lot.
Yeah.
And then she mentions the tennis bracelets that went with it. Do you know what a tennis bracelet is?
I do. Okay. My mom has had several. And
yes, because they are nice gifts
and they're
from
big deals.
Your husband or whomever. Yes. It's what Jim gives Pam. He's like,
yes.
I can make a lot of things,
cries,
but I can't make that.
She draws him the cartoon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he was very generous with her. And, well, we'll get to it. Anyways, as Andrea says, viva Las Vegas, because they run off and get married.
That was
cute.
Side
note, how cute would Andrea look dressed up like Elvis in a jumpsuit? Like in a variety show.
Not, no. Why would she be that?
Because she's so stylish.
Why wouldn't she be like one of the girls with the headdresses?
Oh, yeah, she could do that too.
With the spangle skirts.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
Sorry, not to say that she has to be a showgirl. That's very gender stereotyping. Good for you thinking she would be Elvis. And look at me gender stereotyping her into like a beautiful showgirl. Excuse me.
No, you're right. She would be a stunning showgirl. She could do it all. She could be in the Liberace show. She could do it all. I don't know.
But not like showgirls.
She could be Carrot Top's assistant because apparently he's still going strong there.
Does he have assistants? He doesn't need any assistants. He's fine on
it. Someone has to bring out the prop box. Right? Or does it just stay on stage the whole time?
Oh, no, that's Kevin. That's Kevin backstage, who's been there since, like, he was 19 and is just, like, basically a whipping boy. And he's he gave up.
Yeah. So John says he got his homecoming queen. So you can mark it off the bingo cards. Even if she wasn't technically a homecoming queen, maybe she was. I don't know. But he calls her that. It's good enough. Yeah. They adopt a boy from Russia named JJ. They buy a huge house with a spa and a pool and stuff, like other things that she, like, a bar area?
It's huge.
It's big.
It's a huge house.
There's lots of stuff. So then they bring on this crime scene person, Dr. Whack. I think his last name was Whack.
Am I supposed to know him? He seemed like someone I'm supposed to know.
So his credits are the JFK assassination and JonBenet Ramsey, which we have heard before. We've heard several times they bring on these people who worked on these cases. So I think he's been on Dateline before. But again, can people stop bragging that they worked on the JonBenet case? It's like bragging that you were in charge of finding Amelia Earhart.
Right.
It is not impressive.
Also,
you failed.
It's not solved. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
You didn't solve it. We're waiting. Yeah. Arrest the brother. Okay, sorry.
It's Burke.
Can I say that?
Because the pineapple. We all know it.
It's Burke.
Okay. It's Burke. Yeah. Pineapple. Truth.
Pineapple.
In her stomach?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Come on.
Oh, gosh. Why are we even arguing about it at this point? Why haven't they done it? Why haven't they taken care of this? We know that's it. Everyone else
knows. We all saw his appearance on Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
Something's up with him. Now, Dr. Wickety Whack believes that John was attacked and chased through the house. His head was pushed through the glass by the front door.
Mm-hmm.
It's like sounds like one of these terrible fights in like Die Hard where no one dies, but they should have died a long time ago because they're fighting so hard.
Right. It's like a stage fight. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was real. I would be dead 2 seconds into that fight. John was supposed to sign divorce papers the very next day. How many times have we seen this? How is it not so obvious?
A lot.
Come on. Now, Michelle was living in another house with her new boyfriend, a state trooper, Kevin Foley.
Now, so who's living in the huge house? Who's living in the huge... Sorry, we go from
no
like...
No one anymore.
They keep jumping around a little bit.
Yeah.
We don't know.
No, I don't think anyone's living in that house anymore.
Okay.
They're both living in separate houses.
Because the crime did not take place in the big, beautiful house with the bar and the underground grotto. No,
it took place in another, it took place in a little house that was kind of like a divorced dad type, maybe, house. But to me, would have been a step up. No shame.
I know.
I would have loved to live in that house.
Well, I know,
but for
seriously.
Him, was maybe a step down.
Well, so, but then also, they talk, did they already talk about the presents?
No, not yet.
Oh, sorry.
Leidick, the detective slash corporal, has taken several Xanax, I don't know, before appearing in court before Queen Andrea. She's she's very laid back about everything.
She's not laid back.
She is super chill.
Really?
She had no inflection.
Oh, are we going to have differing opinions on her?
Maybe. Mm. What was your opinion of her?
I liked her a lot. And I grew to like her. I didn't at first. And then I grew to like her more and more.
I had the opposite arc. My character arc took a different path.
I don't think that she did take it. I will disagree with that. I thought that that's just her personality. She's a bit subdued. She's very serious. She's not a jokester. Serious business.
At first thought she was very on top of it, especially for her first homicide.
Yeah.
She collects the fingernails from the autopsy. Instead of sending them to the state police lab, she holds on to them. Perhaps because she knows that the ex-wife, soon-to-be ex-wife, is dating a state trooper.
Is that why? Okay, we don't know that yet. Okay.
She kept it close to the vest.
She did. It was smart. I thought that was very, very smart.
I agree. Should we talk about this? John wore a turtleneck at the funeral because his throat was slit. And for some reason, his sister, I think.
No. The friend. This is another friend. This is a friend from dental school. I was shocked by this. It was, okay, so we're interviewed with three friends. There's a man and a woman, and they're old time friends. And then there is, there's a man and a woman who is a newer friend. And then there's another female friend who's interviewed alone from dental school. And she is the one at the funeral. First of all, she describes her reaction to hearing the news, and it's really sad. And then, go for it. At the funeral, what?
Well, it's an open casket.
Which, I
don't really get, like, why do you have to do... I don't know. I've never been to an open casket funeral, but because we don't have them. But, like, I don't understand why you have... Do you have to?
Why don't you have them?
Jews don't do that.
There you go.
What? Make me say it. Did you know I was Jewish? But why do you have to have one? You don't have to have one, right?
No, it seems like a shocking choice, to be honest.
Yeah.
No, I could be wrong, but there might be some religions that you have to have one, but they didn't talk about him being particularly religious.
No.
So I don't.
So if his head was pushed through a glass wall.
Right. Why would you have an open casket?
Why would you even have an open casket? And then why did this friend slash maybe sister slash cousin.
No, friend.
I'm going to take your word for it. Friend. Yeah. Was so morbid curiosity that she saw the turtleneck and she said, well, John never wears turtlenecks. So she reached into the casket and pulled it down and saw the wound that had almost decapitated him. And then she's talking about it on Dateline.
Okay. Do you remember a few months ago or whenever it was, when we had the dead dog story? The dead dog
it's
on the side
the
of the road?
It's the dead dog story again.
We're at that crossroads again where... I think that if she would ever listen to this episode, she might write in and be like, it was a huge mistake to tell that story on Dateline.
I hope they wouldn't use it.
Because in her grief, I'm sure her brain is not working right. And so she did a weird thing, but that's fine. You can do a weird thing, but then don't talk about it.
Maybe you tell
your husband or your best friend, but don't tell the country. Don't tell Dateline.
I feel like she had just like verbal, and just could not. She shouldn't have said it. Yeah.
She shouldn't have said it.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't recommend even doing it.
I've been in situations where like I just say the opposite of what I'm supposed to be saying. I know do it.
We all have.
So like,
I do it all the time.
But this seems. Don't tell that story.
No, don't. No. So. A couple neighbors had heard some things throughout the night when he was murdered. One neighbor heard what they thought was a pig squealing. You know your neighbor doesn't own a pig. So why don't you call the police when you hear a pig squealing in the middle of the night?
If you heard a pig squealing in the middle of the night, what would you think it was?
Someone being murdered.
I would think it was a movie.
A movie? How loud would that movie have to be?
I would think someone is watching Deliverance. That's,
but they only turned up the remote for that one moment and then turned down the remote?
I don't know. What time did they hear the pig?
I think it was 1 a.m.
See, then that would just be like you're fading in and out of sleep. If you're sleeping at that time, you'd be like, oh, what? Okay, good night.
I don't know. You don't even lock your doors because you feel so safe. And then you suddenly hear a blood-curdling pig squeal.
I also feel like in a town where you don't lock your doors, there might be roaming pigs.
No,
Are we in farm country?
No, it's not. Okay. Like, there's no slaughterhouse. It's not a farm. There's no Wilbur, like, helping Charlotte, you know, weave inspirational.
Weave inspirational quotes into her web.
Yeah. I would think even if it was a farm town and someone heard a pig squeal, if they were a farmer, they might go outside to check on it to make sure there's no predator coming to attack their pigs.
Good point.
Because those pigs are money. Another neighbor heard someone yell, John yell, I'll never loan you money again. And glass shattering.
Mm.
Again, no calls to 911.
I didn't remember the glass shattering.
Yeah.
The glass shattering, I might. But I don't know if just yelling. No, I wouldn't. If someone's yelling, I'll never loan you money again, I would not call. But if I heard glass shattering or a gunshot or something that sounded like violence, yeah. Wouldn't you?
Yes, I totally would.
Yeah, but you'd call up the pig, so you'd, yeah.
Sorry, I know that's wrong now.
No, it's not wrong.
I'm going to do a Twitter poll. Would you call it the pig?
No, please don't, because my heart can't take it. I'm wrong all the time. I have so many issues. Just let me be.
I'm just curious.
No, don't
I
be
curious. I want to know
okay,
if I'm
wrong.
Okay,
that's fine. Then I'm going to cut all this part about me saying things like, I wouldn't come over here. Not doing it. Not doing it. Not having it. Not today, Satan.
I think you're more city gal than me, maybe. You're more like used to hearing noises or something. You're more like tough. Like, they'll work it out.
No, I wouldn't say they'll work it out. But if I heard a pig squeal, I might think it was a pig.
We need to know more about this town. Maybe there are pigs that wander. Maybe it's the fire festival town.
Oh my gosh. Were there pigs on that island?
There was a beach filled with wild hogs that would like swim in the water in that fire festival island. And the models were frolicking with them. It was so weird. By the way, Kim from People Are Wild sent us this thing that like Ja Rule just did like a panel about how he would do another fire festival and how he hasn't seen those documentaries. He's seen those documentaries. You know he watched and reveled in every second he was on screen for those movies.
Yeah.
Also, don't do another fire festival.
Please don't, but kind of do.
It's a really bad idea.
But actually kind of do.
I kind of do, because
I'm kind of fascinated. So
maybe I start a petition asking him to do one.
Yeah. Maybe you do the opposite of what your initial reaction is.
So everyone says, go look at the next door neighbor, Melissa. John was lending Melissa money to open up a bakery, $15,000. People thought they were having an affair, so they were like, look at the husband. Why are you looking at me like that?
No, sorry. I'm listening to you. That's why I'm looking at you, because it confused me a little bit. I didn't catch it exactly.
I listen to you so rarely.
Sorry, I'm listening.
Okay, so they look at the husband. He was acting kind of weird when they interview him, so he's definitely a suspect. Turns out John had also loaned money to his cousin Tracy, so Tracy could start a lawn mowing business. 20 grand.
Whoa,
it cost that much to start a lawn mowing business?
Why is the bakery... How much was the bakery?
15, and the mowing is 20. What you need supplies, you need like tools, and then you need some advertising, some flyers, or you put an ad in the local paper or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Where is this 20 grand? Insurance maybe? So in case someone cuts themselves on a mower, maybe you need stiff insurance. Maybe it's like tree trimming. That job is dangerous and you need a lot of like...
It's not. It's lawn mowing. Tracy's pulling the wool. Tracy's pulling a fast one. Tracy,
You are scamming your cousin.
Are you,
Trace?
Were you scamming him? Because Trace, I don't feel like this is legit.
We see you. We know
lawn
what you're doing.
Business. Lawn mowing.
20 grand. Oh, mowing, yeah. That's just mowing startup
my weed
money.
Farm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't like it.
No.
So they look at John's business partner, the other dentist, which I thought was hilarious because I started watching the show on ID Network called Deadly Dentists. So
what?
It happens enough that there is a show about it.
What are you talking about?
You know, ID has those crazy shows like Murder in My Town,
no,
Fear
not,
Thy Neighbor.
It's not that that I'm asking. It's how are there so many dentists
exactly.
that have gone badly?
There's enough that they've had at least one season, possibly two.
What?
Yes. It's
sorry,
like
I'm just, how, I'm not, I know I keep saying
like
it, but
it's like when I told you about the show, I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant. And we were like, how has that happened more than once? And now that show's been on like six seasons.
So many seasons.
How has it happened? How are there that many dentists? I thought dentists were notorious for committing suicide, not
yes,
for
that's
killing
what I
other
thought too.
People. But apparently.
Wow.
Yeah. So people around the town are gossiping and they think it's Melissa's husband. Melissa gets so sick of all this gossip and her kid being told at school, like, your dad's a murderer, that she oh, by the way, her kid is the one that found the body.
Yeah,
her kid
that's
is
right.
Jonathan Libnicki.
Yeah.
So Melissa hires. Who does she hire? I kind of feel like you should tell us about them.
Yeah, I'd love to.
These are your people. I just feel like you're going to have a lot to say.
Psychic sisters Suzanne Vincent and Jean Vincent for the past 25 years have worked as psychic mediums, psychic profilers, ghost hunters, paranormal researchers, and psychic criminal investigators, and have been successful at locating missing persons and profiling criminals. Mm-hmm. We are currently investigating the disappearance of Ray Gricar, the missing district attorney who disappeared while investigating Jerry Sandusky in Penn State.
Oh, I want to hear about that.
Uh-huh.
That's interesting.
We were also consulted for our expertise on the Pike County mass murder of eight people from the Rowan family in Ohio. Ooh. We were pivotal breaking the murder case of John Yelnick, the dentist in Blairsville, Pennsylvania, and the Christine Shetty murder.
Yeah, I did read that. Pivotal.
Pivotal. My sister and I started our journey in the Puritan Spiritualist Church. Anna Gross, our pastor, saw a gift in us as mediums by the age of 12. So our mother, Margaret Vincent, began taking us to this church for mediumship training. We
Mediumship?
Correct. Training.
Hmm.
We participated in parapsychology classes in Chicago, Illinois, Clearwater, Florida, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Lilydale, New York, at Lilydale Assembly Spiritualist Retreat with medium James Van Praagh.
Not James Van Praagh.
For sure. Praagh.
The?
Praagh.
The James Van Praagh?
The James Van. The medium with a capital M. James Van Praagh.
You know what? If they're a medium and they don't have a show on TLC, I don't even want to know them.
But they were pivotal.
Pivotal.
In this case.
So they're...
I got so excited. I can't even show you what my notes look like. It's a lot of like scribbling about sisters and psychics and circling. And then also the fact that they met at a psychic tea party.
They had a tea party with Andrea.
She said a psychic tea. No, that's where they met. That's where she met the
oh, right.
Melissa.
That's where they met Melissa.
Because Melissa went to a psychic tea.
Right.
And I was like, excuse me? One more time? And so I immediately Google psychic teas. That's kind of hard to find because all I got was like what to put in a tea to make you psychic. But I had a hard time finding psychic tea parties. I did kind of find one.
Well, when Teresa hosts her Long Island medium party, sometimes there's food served. They have like
parties?
Psychic dinners.
They do like, have dinners.
They will pay for her to come and read an entire room during a dinner or something.
How much?
And some... A lot. And sometimes there's like 10 people in the room and sometimes there's like 50 people in the room.
Really?
So, yeah. So maybe those could be considered a tea. But then they have actual like tea with Andrea.
Yes.
Andrea sits down outside with them. What was she thinking? What was Andrea thinking the whole time?
I really want to know. I want to know that maybe more than anything else in the world. I want to know if they gave her any... Is this... How like, often do we have psychics on Dateline? Not often.
Almost never. Right. Yeah. No, almost never. In fact, someone asked psychics. Andrea on Twitter, is this the first psychic you've ever interviewed? And she said she didn't remember.
Really?
Yeah. But,
Did
you know,
she
this
get a read off them?
I felt like this is why Andrea is our queen, because she looks equally at home talking to a prisoner behind prison glass as she does talking to the world famous Pennsylvania psychic sisters.
Yeah.
Who are well preserved and well dolled up.
They're ready for this interview.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they do a walkthrough of the house. They sense hot, like warm spots and cool spots. I can do that too. It's called hot flashes. And they see a woman with dark hair and a black SUV.
Who that?
Something about dog tags and the military.
Mm.
And the detective, Leidick, is priceless. She's
priceless. How do you not like her at this moment?
I liked her at this point. She's okay. Following the psychics through the house going, really? And then Andrea says, well, isn't it possible? Perhaps you were just so frustrated with the case at this point. You were thinking maybe they will find something and that would be helpful. And Leidick just goes, no.
No.
And then she said, I was pissed because she basically said I had work to do. I was like, yeah. I need to be at my desk. I have things to do.
Like, it was a time waster for her. Yeah.
That was awesome. Andrea says, did you learn anything new from them? And Andrea says, Leidick says, no. And then they cut to John's cousin. We didn't learn anything new from them.
But the cousin says it in, like, this really nice way. Like, it was, you know. Yeah. Like, she's very sweet about it. But Leidick's just like, absolutely not.
Not a fan.
Not having it.
Yeah. But also, they were integral to the case. Also, I'm not sure if you saw this on their website, but there's a photo of them posing on Pittsburgh Today, that show. So they did some TV. And there's also a photo of them posing with, and I kid you not, the actor who played the soup Nazi, big time.
Did she help him big do stars. Something? Did she help him?
It looked more like they were happened to be eating at the same restaurant and he appeased her by taking a picture. That was the reading that psychic Kimberly got from the photo.
That makes me that and that, that didn't actually know makes
it was
really
gonna
sad.
Wind up on their website.
Don't, that makes me really sad.
For who? For them or the, for
like
the
all
soup
of
Nazi?
It. The whole thing. That's just that's sad. I don't like it. I don't know.
Is it like an old man eating soup by himself at dinner alone?
What are these ladies doing? They've been like tricked their whole life by a weird pastor who was like, you have a gift, and they don't have a gift. Do they? They better have a gift because this is
it's
like a long practical
joke. I honestly am the wrong
joke.
Person to ask because I've fallen for John Edwards and I've fallen for Teresa. Oh,
you are the wrong
and
person.
And I'm fallen for Tyler, the young kid.
Are they all fakes?
To me, I'm going to get bashed on Twitter, so I don't want to say.
Yeah, you are. You need to be quiet. All right.
I don't want to say.
No. Boy,
but
you've said enough.
But do these ladies have the gift? Fairly sure of the answer. Not going to answer, though.
So I'm sorry. The neighbor hired them just to get, like, something else going away from her husband.
Correct. Yes. Yes. Mm. Oh, I forgot the best part. In the photo with the soup Nazi, in the caption, it says, you know, posing with soup Nazi, notice, and there's a like light spot from the camera flash, and it says, notice the spirit orb over his shoulder. Soup Nazi is being haunted by the grudge, you guys.
That is so bad.
He is the grudge demon is gonna come get the soup Nazi.
Is that the noise that the grudge makes?
Yeah. No, that was good. That was a good impression. Nice.
It's the only thing I can do. Wow. Holy Moses.
Yeah.
I don't think we should ever talk about this again.
Okay. So Melissa's husband has the wrong size shoe and he passes a polygraph. So he's clear.
Yeah.
Now, Lydic lives three blocks away, and her kids' best friends live like two doors down from the murder. So she won't let them go play there anymore because she thinks it's a neighbor or somebody. She doesn't know who it is. She can't trust anybody. And I thought that was so sad because the kids already witnessed this horrible, gruesome crime scene, and now they can't go play at their friend's house. Like, these kids have been through the ringer in this episode. Yeah. So finally we get to John's marriage. Things were not good.
Now, did you know this from the jump?
No. Well, obviously, because she's now living with a new boyfriend.
No, but I mean...
Did me, Kimberly, or me, like...
You, Kimberly.
Uneducated Dateline viewer who's like, never seen a Dateline before.
No. Okay, okay. So, yeah, you would have known. All right. No, I was just... When they went into the detail, when they first described them getting together, talking about her taking care of his mother with the pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised when they start, when you start to hear that things are bad in their marriage, because that is a huge, that's a huge undertaking. And I was like, oh, okay. So whatever went wrong was not like because somebody is horrible. And then surprise.
Surprise. Someone's always horrible. It's
Dateline. Never mind. Yeah. So, you're a fool. Yeah, I was a fool.
But it's so sweet that you went in and you wanted to think. Maybe
I did.
This time.
I fully did. I was like, no, this time. This time it's going to be different.
This time it's just a nice story.
This time I let it go. Sorry, there's a John Legend song called This Time. If you, I would insert it here, but.
No. So they were very different. Michelle loved to brag about the big house, and John was embarrassed by the excess. He only felt at home in this bare bones man cave that has nothing in it in the furnace room, which is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Furnace room means basement, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, or it could be a separate room in the basement, maybe. That's how not at home he felt in his house that he bought was in the furnace room.
Why did he buy it?
For her. She loved fancy things. So
don't marry that, dude. Don't marry that. Sorry. Okay.
So now Andrea says Michelle just wasn't that into John, which I love when Andrea uses catchphrases like that. Like,
what? Like, no, you don't.
I do.
Like butt
I really,
dial.
Not butt dial. No, I don't go when she goes blue, but I like when she uses don't use toilet humor, Andrea. We know gotcha. You're way
it's
better.
It's not
than
toilet
that.
Humor, it's a common term.
Mm-mm. Okay. Now, she's delighting me in this episode, actually. Mm-hmm. I liked when she asked John's best friend what the final straw was, and he said Michelle had an affair. And Andrea says, that'll do it.
Yeah.
She's
back. She's back and she's sass. Everyone is this year. Everyone this whole season. I can't wait for Dennis. Because
Dennis
is just going to be, I don't even know what's going to happen.
He's going to rip off an interviewee's head and then show it to the victim and go, is this what their head looked like when it was bleeding in front of you on a stake? So sorry if that brings back painful memories, but the camera's rolling, so please tell us. Okay, so John moved out after both he and Michelle had affairs. It was a very bad marriage. Michelle is now bragging to total strangers about how she's sleeping with someone else.
She started it, though. The affairs.
Oh, for sure she started it.
She started it, and then she got mad when he did, even though she had already had one.
Mm-hmm. So she's now bragging to total strangers, like the friend that is new, like the new girlfriend who's helping John move out of the house, that she's now sleeping with someone new who's great in bed and buying her presents. And
barf.
She's saying this in front of this stranger and also in front of their kid.
Barf. Like, in front of JJ.
And Andrea's face is, she's so pure and she likes bedroom talk to be kept inside the bedroom. And she looks like she smelled something like a skunk.
She did smell a skunk.
And it was called Michelle.
Yeah.
Being crass. Now, like, I'm never crass. John spent
not
a
like
ton.
Not like that.
I wouldn't do it like that. I wouldn't.
That's a bad person crass.
No, that's
like,
a bad person.
That's like being, that's being an a-hole.
Yeah. Now, John spends a ton of time with JJ, their son. He's a great dad, but then Michelle accuses him of child abuse.
God,
which
almighty.
Is terrible. John fights for his son, and at a hearing, the judge says he can take him out of town for a trip. When he goes to pick up JJ, JJ's head is shaved, which was some weird, like, trip that the Michelle is pulling. Like,
well, what did you think that was? Because they said it was something. They said it was
to make him look like a prisoner or something.
But
like,
what did
he didn't
want to
be with his dad.
Yeah.
Honestly, I thought something worse. I thought, because they're going to Disneyland, I thought she wanted him to look like he had cancer. So he'd get in free and like in lines and stuff. Because that's what happened with Gypsy Rose.
Oh my God. But why would she
and
do
I
that for the husband?
It happened on a sitcom too. It happened on a sitcom. I can't think which one. Probably Family Guy.
Probably. Why would they do that for, why would she do that for the husband though?
No,
she wouldn't.
She wouldn't
do that for John.
Doesn't make sense.
I was more worried. Now, keep in mind, I saw a white supremacist family at Disneyland.
Oh, God.
And I immediately saw that kid and was like, did she put red laces in his boots? Did she, like, totally mean to mess with him? What was she doing?
What does red laces mean? Oh, it means you're like, a skinhead?
Like you're a neo-Nazi.
Oh. I just like red.
Okay, so just maybe don't use them in Doc Martens?
Oh, I can do that. Okay.
Yeah. And so that's the first thing I thought. But then I thought, okay, no, seriously, that's way too elaborate and she's probably not that smart. And then I thought, well, I wonder if she's doing it because she wants to say later, he brought him back to me and his head was shaved.
Right.
He shaved off all his hair. I thought it was more a preemptive, like, I didn't do that before he left. It was more of a thing that he had done that. She was going to claim that John had shaved his head.
There was another show where the mom shaved the kid's head as a punishment because he wouldn't like clean his room or something. I can't remember which show, or if it was a reality show, I can't remember anything about it. But then that makes me think maybe like JJ said something nice about the dad and then he got punished or something. He didn't want to enjoy himself too much.
Oh, wow.
He wanted him to be miserable.
But also, would a kid that age mind having their head shaved? I don't feel like it seems like a punishment.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kids don't know. They don't care.
I don't understand children. So
they don't care.
Michelle would call the dentist office where John works and scream at the office workers for money. And one of the friends says, now, I'm not saying she's a gold digger. So then Michelle says that he sexually abused JJ. JJ is backing up the story. He's like reciting the story. John passes a polygraph and the judge thinks that JJ sounds too rehearsed. And doesn't buy the charges. So nothing happens. No charges are filed.
Thank God for that judge. Like they could see through it and they describe him. They kept pushing and pushing. Yeah. Even though JJ stuck to the story, was like, this is not the way a child tells this story.
Mm-hmm. I thought that said a lot that the judge believed.
And in a lot of cases, I've heard that judges tend to err on the side of believing the mother. So this is excellent. This judge sort of saw through this nonsense. Yeah.
Now, there was a pickup where he was picking up JJ and JJ freaked out because now he's scared of his dad because of the things the mom has been telling him. And John is devastated. So he doesn't spend Christmas with him that year. And he has all these Christmas presents that are still wrapped when he's murdered in the spring. They're still out at his house.
That's the precious moment. It was too much. It like hurt my heart. Because all he wants to do is spend time with his son and this horrible woman.
She's horrible. It's horrible. I can't. People who would lie about like abuse,
it's a new level of just, it's despicable.
So finally they reach an agreement for their divorce.
Yeah.
But Michelle still wants her monthly income from John, which is like $2,500. And John, for the first time, says no. This is when his car gets vandalized. Couldn't really tell what it said. But could you show what it said?
Mm-mm.
It looks like when you'd write someone's name on an envelope that has a birthday card inside, and then you draw little swoopies underneath to make it look nice.
Yeah, I did. I wonder. Yeah, the swoopie. I know what you're talking about. What's that called? A flourish? I don't
remember.
Sure.
Yeah, flourish. Yeah. It was nice handwriting. That's all I could say. So
really quick, here's what I didn't understand. They tell us that she got 60% of his assets in the divorce. 60%.
Yeah.
Why in the world would she still need this piddly? Is it because she hadn't gotten the big check yet? What was the problem?
What? Because she's Michelle.
Yeah.
She's Michelle.
Garbage person. All right.
She's the Budweiser of beer. I don't know if Budweiser's not a good beer.
She's the Budweiser of beers.
Oh, my God.
Butthead.
Oh, my God. So now, oh, geez, we've taken a turn. So
no, we haven't. We've taken a good turn, a turn towards the Katie.
So the tides have finally turned. The puns have arisen and shall inherit the earth. So this is when he gets the premonition that he is going to be killed. And this is where it gets bananas. And mm-hmm. Andrea is flabbergasted. He told his lawyer to save $10,000 of his money to investigate his murder because he's that sure that something's going to happen to him and that it won't be solved and that he needs to put money aside to solve his own murder.
That is the saddest / smartest thing I think maybe I've heard mm-hmm. in a while. That Correct. Is so smart.
It's so smart. It's so sad. I feel like also, if you're that scared and you're signing the divorce papers the very next day, well, if he wasn't a state trooper, the boyfriend, did I say that already, that her boyfriend's a state trooper?
You have not said that yet.
I would be sleeping on the floor in the police station. I would, like, refuse to leave. I would make myself get arrested and locked up until the paperwork was signed the next day. I'd be that scared. Or I would, like, put a disguise on and then drive to a motel, buy a room with cash, and hide in it until...
But doesn't he have, like, a cop buddy? Doesn't he have, like, somebody he can... I mean, he's a dentist in a small town. I mean,
he's
got to know somebody.
Can't he stay at a friend's house for the night? I mean...
Yeah, maybe you just get a couple of friends.
A couple of friends. You have them all sit at the entrances in the windows, and you sleep in the middle.
But I'm sure that's why his friends were upset, is that they felt like... He mm-hmm. should have done that, and mm-hmm. then he didn't, and then, mm-hmm. yeah, okay.
So, now the divorce papers are found right next to the body.
Right.
Which is so ironic, and they have blood spatter, on them. And Andrea and the lawyer keep saying literally, because they just can't believe it. They're like, they literally have blood spatter on them. Now, the friends all get together after the funeral to discuss their theories. None of them have alternative theories besides it being Michelle and her boyfriend. They clearly need to come to us because it was obviously an owl who was bitter about the cost of his root canal.
Right.
Duh.
Swooped in through the window just with sheer force. Mm-hmm. No, but also, this is very clearly not done by Michelle, right?
No, so it was done by a man.
It was it's a head through a window. It's done by a man and probably a man who was a Marine. Like, right. That's the first thing that I would think is like, yeah, we're in Die Hard. It's exactly mm-hmm. what you said.
So Trooper Foley is the boyfriend mm-hmm. and he has been very menacing towards John, even threatening him, saying, I hate him. I want to kill that guy. I wish he would die in a car accident.
Two other cops and
very
troopers.
Very verbal. Two other cops.
Sorry, what's a trooper? We're just
a
in
state
so much
trooper.
Trouble. We've got like a corporals and troopers. Yeah. So is a trooper, what do they do?
They troop.
Troop.
Like Troop Beverly Hills.
What do they do?
We're the girls from Beverly Hills. 1, 2, 3. No, they are like policemen at the state level.
Okay.
And you see them on the highways.
Well, yeah, I know what a highway, but is that... Okay.
But you probably see them at big crime scenes. Maybe when there's no jurisdiction of, like, a city, or maybe they oversee the whole state. I don't really understand it.
I need a breakdown of exactly... I would like a breakdown. I don't need one, but I'd like it.
I like to keep our podcast as ignorant as possible, where we don't know things. Success.
Where our paths cross in the woods.
So... 10 people tell the police the killer has to be Michelle's boyfriend, Trooper Foley. 10 people.
10 people.
If 10 people told me that frontal neck tattoos were now socially acceptable, I actually might start to consider it.
Frontal
That's
neck
a lot of people.
Listen up. I'm going to be the first one. Frontal neck tattoos are totally socially acceptable. I'm the first. 10 people, get behind me. Tweet at Kimberly. I just ruined your life. Yeah.
Fart.
Yeah.
Fart nuggets. What did I just open up
life.
Unto myself?
Yeah. You're
oh
welcome.
My God.
You're
you know,
welcome.
We got a fiddle faddle this week. we got a freaking fiddle faddle from a dear, dear, lovely new listener who has started listening to our old episodes.
Who said fiddle faddle?
Who wanted to tell us that it was fiddle faddle that we were trying to think of.
That's very sweet. We got it. Thank you.
We heard about it when it happened. Thank you so much, though. Really appreciate it. Now, this is where I started to shift with Leidic, where we might stop thinking alike. Instead of going straight to Foley and interviewing him, she works from the outside in, looking at every single person that it could possibly be before looking at the person that everyone says that it is. The friend says, "Are you smoking something?" To the general police department. Like, literally every other police department in the world works the inside out. But you, on your first homicide, are going to try to do the opposite. Who are you, George Costanza? And now and then the police keep telling the family, this is not a TV show, and you're asking the impossible of us. Like, finding the bad guy or just even interviewing the person that we think is the bad guy is the impossible. It's Kim Possible. So Leidic has worked with Trooper Foley before and trusted him. He's had her back in situations. So she trusted him and she is basically completely biased and she's fully admitting it, at least on Dateline. I respect that.
Okay.
That she is at least saying, yeah, I trusted him. I didn't want to think it was him. He's a state trooper.
But that is what made you not like her.
No, it was the... part of it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Yeah. I respected that she was admitting that she had bias.
Right. Right.
But I was annoyed with her that she had bias and that...
Right.
It's so obvious to everyone in the world who murdered this person the day before he was supposed to sign divorce papers.
Right.
And someone who had verbally threatened him in front of a bunch of other people. Right. And she did not even interview him. Actively chose to look at everyone else.
She was told not to interview him. Are you forgetting that?
No, we haven't gotten to that part yet.
Okay.
This is just what we hear from her at this point. And even Andrea can't believe it. Andrew's like, that's the very basic that you can do.
But we hear right after this, right?
No, it's a little bit, I think.
Oh, okay. All right.
So Michelle has custody of JJ and is living with Trooper Foley. And since we never get an interview with Michelle, I just want to point out that we get to see her in the Budweiser dress as her main photo the entire episode.
Yeah, it's pretty much is. Yeah, yeah.
There's another photo where she's smiling. Yeah. And there's and then there's the Budweiser photo, which I have to feel like was that shade.
Yes, it was. And it was perfectly done.
Yes. But my mom does the exact same thing to me. She picks the weirdest photos of our family to frame and put on the wall. Like, there's one photo of the 300 photos taken from my bat mitzvah where my eye is closed. And that's the photo she chooses to frame to represent my bat mitzvah. She doesn't choose who's in the photo. Huh?
Who's in the photo?
Me.
Just you?
Yeah.
With your eye half closed. No one else is in the photo.
Oh, no. There's like the rabbi and then they're standing by me as well. My parents.
Yeah, do they look good? Does your mom look good?
You think Joni is that shady?
No, I'm just saying it's a natural human thing.
My dear mother, who would give her life for me, would want me to look better than her, don't you think?
Does your mom look good in the photo?
Yes. Yes, she does. But she usually does. She photographs well.
Right. And you have an eye closed?
Yeah. I'm very upset.
I know, I don't want to burst your bubble, but like, why else would she pick one with you with your eye closed?
Exactly. But she also has photos all over the walls that are framed in these 80s photo frames that have, like Michelle's permed hair, not aged well. My mom wants to streamline and create like a cleaner look for the house. So I'm going to get her a skylight frame.
There we go.
I got the idea from you from last week. They're mom, so turn cool. off the podcast now because you will... The surprise is ruined. Yeah. So sorry. It's such a special gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame that you can update instantly by email from anywhere. And it takes less than a minute to install. You just connect it to Wi-Fi. And now I can load it up with the best pictures where maybe my eyes are open and I don't have eight chins and she looks good. Maybe we could find one where we all look good, Joni. And I'm not, maybe one where I'm not wearing my favorite Budweiser dress. Also, my brother and my aunt and my cousins and I can all email in photos to stay connected to my parents, and they will just like pop up on the screen out of nowhere, and my mom will scream in delight like it's magic, and she will call me a wizard because she doesn't understand technology.
It's so cool.
It's so cool. And now, as a special holiday offer, you can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight frame when you go to skylightframe.com and enter code DATE. To get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight frame, go to skylightframe.com and enter DATE. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, promo code DATE. I'm so excited.
They're really an excellent gift, and it's really something special.
Do we think my mom figured out how to pause the podcast so she didn't listen to this part?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah, because I was just super negative. So, yes. Good job, Joni. But I don't want her to be mad at me. Too late.
Too late. So, speaking of not having camera ready face and or hair.
Stop it.
Another state trooper who seemed like a great guy, but did appear to maybe have just been skydiving or something.
Because
he
that?
Needed a comb. He has like gray hair and it is so tousled, and I wanted to brush it because he was saying very important things, but I was super distracted.
I think just that's his look.
Pull a comb out. Like it's a boyish look, maybe.
Tussle.
It is. It's tussled.
Tussled locks.
Now, he was at the crime scene the night of the crime, and he said all of the officers, this is another reason that really gets me, all of the officers at the crime scene are actively saying things like, I hope Foley has an alibi. Where was Foley last night? Because they all know about this rift between Foley and John. And then he says that they were not actively told to not talk about the case with Foley, but that it was an unspoken rule. Like, don't bring it up around him. Don't keep him updated on the case. And then Leidick admits that there is a thin blue line going on, that they are protecting their own. Even herself, I think, she admits it was happening.
Right.
And she's suspicious and careful about who is handling evidence, which I think she was worried they might tamper with it or it might disappear. Is that kind of what you thought?
Yes.
She doesn't really say, but
I think she's worried that it might go missing.
Yeah. But the crux of it to me is that she didn't interview him. And she says, I didn't interview him because he's a state trooper. She literally says, because he's a state trooper. And Andrea says, why don't you even try to interview? Like, that's your job. But then, at the same token, she has the district attorney basically telling her not to interview him.
Exactly. So but this is her first homicide.
It is her first homicide.
First one. She has the DA, not anyone else. The DA, the highest, telling her, you don't need to interview him. I can't fault her that much.
I get it. And at the she says, she contradicts herself. She says, well, he knows what he's doing, like more than I am. I should listen to him because he knows what he's doing. But then and Andrea says, but didn't you think that this was wrong? And she says, yes.
Right.
So she knew it was wrong. I can't imagine the pressure of being in a police department, especially being a woman in a police department. So
yes.
I really get it. But things could have been done differently.
It definitely could have, but the fact that she came on and said it
is admirable.
I feel like is hugely admirable.
Mm-hmm.
That was a difficult thing. She could have stuck by her and said, I did everything by the book, and she didn't do that.
No,
she was
totally,
like, no, I messed up.
You're absolutely right.
I feel like it was very human of her because I think that the majority of people, were they in her situation, would have done the same thing.
Maybe. Probably.
Probably. When faced with it, yes.
Now, this DA, whose name is Bob Bell, who is smarmy AF, he seems to be behind all of this.
Boy, oh boy.
The police ask him that very night, can we get a search warrant for Foley's house?
Mm-hmm.
Again, because they all know he did it. He doesn't get a search warrant. And when all of the relatives are telling him, we know it was Trooper Foley, he doesn't do anything. And at one point, the cousin says, listen, why aren't you talking to Trooper Foley? This was his enemy. And the DA, Bob Bell, says, do we have a Trooper Foley on staff?
Yeah, here we go. Mm-hmm.
Like doing the Mariah Carey, I don't know her.
Oh, my God.
What? So then the John's friend in the Patagonia zip-up, I loved him. He gave off such, like, good guy vibes. You know what I mean?
He did.
He just seemed like a good guy.
But the weird thing is I was unsure of him at first. And then I was like, nope, good guy.
Good guy.
Good guy.
He says, well, there's this thing called Google. So I'm going to Google. And he pulls up instantly a article and a photo of the DA with Trooper Foley. It turns out they've worked multiple cases together.
Wow.
Yeah. So...
so troopers must work cases. Sorry. I know I keep harping on that. I just don't understand it. Do they or do they not?
I think there's probably certain times where they have jurisdiction and maybe certain times where they don't. Or if it's a small town scenario, they maybe often bring in the state troopers to help them at a city county level because they're a small department. Does that sound right?
That sounds good.
That whole thing was absolutely made up.
But that sounds really good. You're going to like the playback on that. I'm going to send it to you. You can use it as your ringtone.
Okay. I love sounding smart. So it's been a year now and nothing happens. The cousin, Marilyn, who I'm so sorry that I thought was the mom.
Marianne.
That was the sister. Marianne. Again, I don't even know her name.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so sorry.
She's in a big part of this.
She's an MVP for sure. She's making noise. She's being a squeaky wheel. I know, I feel really bad, but I really thought she was the mom, which doesn't really make sense age-wise.
You thought she was an MVP?
Well, just because of this part.
Okay, there we go. All right.
So she is a squeaky wheel. And this part was huge, actually.
Yeah, it was.
She used to work in local government. And so she has the chutzpah to call the state of Pennsylvania's attorney general, the highest up that you can go in the state, and ask him and his office to take over the case. And they say yes.
That's amazing.
Because of her.
Squeaky wheel.
Squeaky wheel. You did it, girl. In my original notes, I wrote, yay, mom, you did it. And yay, cousin. I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
I know. You would have had to have had two.
Like really young mom.
No,
yeah.
It didn't make any sense, but I'm sorry. That's just, I misunderstood. Okay. So the attorney general's office comes in and they think it's insane that Michelle and Foley haven't been investigated. They know something fishy is going on. They literally can't understand with all this evidence why they have never no investigator has interviewed Michelle or Trooper Foley. The soon to be ex-wife, the next day was going to be the ex-wife and her boyfriend, who everyone in the town says he hated. No one's ever just questioned them casually.
How did Michelle not get questioned? That makes me mad. Michelle should have been questioned immediately.
Because they're going outside in. They're first doing the freaking guy who one time cut John's hair in four towns over when he was on a business trip 10 years ago. They're interviewing him first. And then they're finally going to get to the spouse. It makes no sense.
Yeah, it really doesn't. Okay.
So... then the best part is DA Bell has to act like he is excited that he has the state's help. And he's like, no, I totally welcome their help because all I want is justice and stuff like that. It's pretty funny.
It's pretty disgusting.
I know. The fingernail clippings that Leidick purposely stowed away. Again, I was really happy that she did that, but it's been a year and they haven't been tested, which is not great.
So does that make you think she was hiding them? Is that what you thought?
It makes me think she was really either really smart at the very night when it happened, or and then like lost all interest in the case and forgot about them, or that she wasn't really that smart and she's now pretending that it was really smart that she stowed them away, and then because she maybe forgot to send them in, or.
Does she seem like that? She doesn't seem like that's the case, though. She doesn't seem like that.
I just don't get it unless Belle specifically told her not to test. If Belle specifically told her, don't test these fingernails, that is such a breach of everything right that she's ever learned about law enforcement. She would have had to have. Again, I don't know the pressure that she was under being the only woman in that department, I'm guessing, and being her first homicide. But you. I mean,
and
see
he being Pally
something.
Pally, and you being Pally Pally with this trooper,
right? And you know that it's all being covered up, but you're at the same time talking to this family who lost their son and their friend
in
and
a horrible way,
in the most violent. And this violent man is still out there raising children, living with these children.
Exactly.
I just feel like it's kind of unconscionable, even though I don't know. All of the pressure that she was under. I don't know if I'd be strong enough to stand up and say something, but I would hope that I would be. But I don't know if I would be.
I think you would be.
I don't know. But
I don't know either.
I mean, nobody can say it unless they're in it. Yeah. But I don't know if that's why she didn't do the fingerprints or the fingernails, but she had to have been like, why haven't we tested these yet? The case has gone nowhere. There's nothing happening. They still haven't interviewed the two main suspects. Yeah. Oh, you have a woman who has accused the husband of sexually assaulting their child, and then the husband dies brutally. That alone makes the wife the prime suspect.
100%.
And she's never even been interviewed.
That's crazy. You're right. No, you're totally right.
I mean, it's bonkers. And it's been bonkers. A year. Like, what are you doing all year? They don't have other murders to solve. There's no other murders. So I don't get it.
Well, the psychics came in. That took a month.
They did have the psychics. That did.
Yeah, they milked that. They stayed at the Four Seasons. Room service every day.
The mini bar. They got into that mini bar. They totally did. They ate the almonds for $10.
Sure did. Drank all the bottles of water. All right.
So now that the attorney general is finally on the case, they are going to test the fingernail samples, and they point directly to Foley, but they also could be thousands of other people that they're pointing directly to. Mm. It doesn't exclude Foley. It's like it could be anyone else in that town, basically. It's like a matter of 1,300 or 13,000 or something. So it's not good evidence. Yes.
I didn't really understand this as well, but I'm hoping you did. It sounds like you did kind of get it.
Well, sometimes with DNA, they go, it's a 99.9% match. This would have been like a 10% match and can't exclude him. Right. The 10 isn't right. My math is not right. But that's sort of what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't have any properties in it that the properties of his DNA would make it impossible for it to be him. But it could be him or 1,000 other people on the earth. Or even maybe in Pennsylvania, 1,000 other people
it
in Pennsylvania.
Like it could be 1,000 more in the town is what it sounded like to me.
Okay, and there's only like 8 people in the town. So but they still have enough circumstantial evidence. So they decide to arrest Foley. And this is when DA Bell makes a press conference. Again, he's praising the state government and how good they all did and like, patting themselves on the back for I hate this man. The fire. Yeah.
Piece of poop.
Oh my God.
Flames on the side of my face.
Yes. Yep. But the good part is that the arrest happens on the cousin's birthday, which I thought was very sweet.
That was kind of great. She was it was the best present. Yeah.
If you're looking for another good present, get a skylight frame. Yes. So they go to trial in Indiana County, Pennsylvania, which really frustrated me. Yeah. Can we just not do that?
No.
For people like me, who even the laminated placemats do not help me learn my states and my state capitals, why are we confusing the issue?
It is a lot. It is a lot.
Yeah.
It's not your fault. That's their fault.
Yeah.
They should know better.
But also, this is where Jimmy Stewart was born.
Okay. So does this count? This has got to count, right?
Count for
Merry
what?
Merry Christmas, movie house! This needs to count for, I know, I'm sorry, I know you hate it, for the Mark Twain birthplace.
I wrote, is Jimmy Stewart the new Alamo?
Yeah.
But what I really meant was, is Jimmy Stewart the new Mark Twain birthplace?
Okay.
Yes, 100%. Okay. For those of you who are new, at the beginning when we started covering it, we kept getting these episodes where they would say, and the Alamo is there. And then they'd show B-roll of people going into the Alamo. And yeah. Twice they
feet.
Said,
just feet.
Just feet shuffling into the, just feet, close up of feet. Yep. And then, or they'd say, like Mark Twain said, you know, and he was born here, blah, 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 which has nothing to do with the episode.
He was born in the nearby town. Yeah.
Yeah. No one cares. But it's trying
some
to
people
give
care. No, that's not true.
Some people care.
Some people care. All yeah. the literature majors out there, really, sure. they care.
Yeah. So that's what I felt like. This, yes, Jimmy Stewart is the new one. But I was also kind of hoping that you would do a Jimmy Stewart impression.
Merry Christmas, movie house!
See, I don't think that is, that doesn't, that's, that.
Which impression did you want me to do? Because all I can think
not
of is
that really one. It's weird. It scares me a little.
I don't know, because I've never seen it, so I don't understand it. If you've seen A Wonderful Life, tell me how that goes.
Doesn't seem right.
And then, well, what's the Jimmy Stewart besides Rear Window? I can't do
He's
any Harvey impressions.
Of those movies.
Yeah, but I can't do Harvey. It's not meant to be. It's not meant to
it's
be.
It's not. It wasn't supposed to happen, you guys. And you know what? Life is filled with disappointments, and I'm going to have to learn to live with them.
I'm sorry. I will call you and do a really good one later. I just
don't
can't
want it
do
for
it
me.
Pressure.
I wanted it for the people.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So we go to trial, and a bunch of troopers take the stand and say that Foley hated John and wanted him dead. And the theory is now that maybe he just went there the night before to get John to reconsider about the money. And change.
But what money?
The she monthly money.
But she got 60% of his assets.
I know, but she wanted more. She is a Budweiser girl. It takes a lot of money to upkeep.
I'm sorry, it makes me really mad. I feel like it's really grabby.
It's
I
super
don't like
grabby.
Grabby.
I don't either.
Yeah, I know you don't.
So, like, she was married to this wealthy dentist who was obviously doing really well, and then she went with a state trooper who I don't think makes nearly the same amount of money.
So
she needs to supplement it.
Maybe she should have thought about all of this.
Yeah.
Like, this is... I'm sorry.
You're just mad at every woman who married a guy for money.
I am. I'm specifically mad at her because I feel like this is such a waste. Like, this is your son's father, and like what you were getting 60% of his assets. You were going to be very well taken care of.
Yeah. But that money might not last. It's like winning the lottery. You're supposed to get the payments every month because that makes it last more.
Well, then why don't you put it with a money manager and let him give you the payments every month if you're so bad at keeping your money, you dumb.
She's too busy buying encrusted, bejeweled Budweiser
sweaters.
Dresses.
I think she's buying encrusted, bejeweled sweaters and tennis bracelets. Why don't you sell your tennis bracelet or your engagement ring? She probably already did. She probably is just really bad with money.
So that's true. We don't know. Mm-hmm. So They think that the shoe was, okay, so there's this whole business with the shoe. I'm going to skip over it. But basically, they think that he bought that shoe.
Why are you skipping over the ASICs?
Okay, fine.
They literally brought the guy in from ASICs. I wrote ASICs guy.
They bring in an ASICs guy who had bright blue eyes and very white teeth. And he is, they figure out that these shoes were not sold in that area, but that troopers could somehow get them directly through the company. It was like a special workaround. And then they actually find a purchase order of Foley buying those type of shoes. And those are the shoes that they think are the shoes that were at the crime scene, because there's a footprint in the blood, which, again, he's a state trooper and left behind a perfectly preserved footprint in the blood.
Yeah, that's real dumb. I don't think he ever thought he was going to be investigated because of the thin blue line.
Mm-hmm. And he was half right.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for a cousin, then it would have happened, probably.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah, it was a year.
Yeah, you're right.
It's cold by then. So then they bring in a special, I don't want to say tech nerd, because he's obviously like way smarter and richer and more successful than I am. And I love a tech nerd.
But he can still be a tech nerd.
He's a tech nerd, and he works on DNA testing. And so he himself has basically revolutionized the whole game. Of the way they can test for this DNA. So from what was a 1 in 13,000 or whatever, he could have been anyone in that town or anyone in Pennsylvania.
Right.
It's now down to, it's like 1 in a billion that it's him. It's that certain that it is Foley's. And he does say that the way he tests compared to the way the FBI tests is like comparing a Ferrari to a golf cart. Or a go-kart. I'm sorry, a go-kart.
Wow. I didn't miss that. I totally didn't catch that at all.
Yeah, he's practiced that line. He's very proud of him. He's used that metaphor before, like when he's trying to pitch the technology to people. And it works.
Okay.
So the defense calls it junk science, which is hilarious.
Of course they do.
The one defense attorney is talking about it, and the other defense attorney is sitting there looking down, and it's like the camera is almost zooming in on him, and you're hearing, "Hello, darkness, my old friend."
Aww.
It's like he's like questioning his entire purpose in life at that moment.
Oh, God.
The defense attorney is brushing off Andrea's questions and saying things like, with the numbers that you're saying, you know, it's now they first said it could be this and now they're saying it could be this. And she's like, yeah, it's really specific. And he's like, yeah, but they're including like figures of Mars and Venus.
Oh, my God. You guys. No, I seriously said out loud. I was like, you guys.
Yes, sir. This DNA statistics, they are including all of the people that are on Mars and Venus.
Come on.
That is where they're getting their data from. Also, don't be dismissive to our queen.
They really were.
They were.
They waved his hand. Yeah.
Also, any lawyer obviously knows that DNA progresses, the science progresses really, really fast. In like, you know, 5 years, it progresses like 100 years practically.
Right.
In how fast technology comes. So just because he thinks that it's too, they've now been learned how to test it higher and get more accurate reading is like now it's junk science because it's too good.
Yeah.
It's too specific of a number. There's no way it could be that good. So no.
Oh, well, that's like witchcraft.
Exactly. Burn him at the stake.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a neighbor says, this part's still weird to me. Heard John saying, I'm never loaning you money again, and glass smashing.
Right.
Again, didn't call the police. But what was that about? Because John did not ever loan money to the trooper. I'm sure he loaned money to Michelle. Do you think he said, I'm never loaning money to her again or something? And they misunderstood?
Do you think the trooper yelled it to throw them off?
No, I don't think he's that smart.
Do you think they heard a movie?
Poltergeist?
No, this is like... This is all very Rear Window-y, speaking of Jimmy Stewart.
It's also like Home Alone when he plays the movie for the pizza guy. Is outside.
Sorry, I don't...
If anyone has any theories, I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm curious too. Hi, everybody. This is Katie here. I'm editing this episode, and actually, I have a theory. Something Kimberly and I didn't cover is the fact that what if Michelle was actually in the house with Trooper Foley when he kills John? That would make sense that John would be having an argument with Michelle and yelling something to the fact of, I'm never going to loan you money again. And Trooper Foley then gets very angry with him and then kills him with Michelle actually in the house. That's just my theory. Wanted to let you know. Okay. Enjoy the rest of the episode. Bye. And I'm curious if somebody just heard it a different day and then...
Right, transposed when it happened.
Transposed it and then
I don't know, because the police found the body. Like, you would remember if it was that night or if it was like a few nights before, right? Unless the police didn't interview them for a few weeks or a few days, maybe then you might not remember. Which it does sound like they might not have been
correct
that on the
right?
ball.
So there you go.
That's possible. Then it, like a jailhouse inmate comes forward and says he did it. And
no,
they just brush
on.
Over that right away. They're not, Andrea's not having any of that nonsense.
But they seem totally, but the guys like, were like trying to get everyone to buy it. The defense attorneys were like, well, there's this jailhouse informant. So, I mean, what? Okay.
So then the defense, this was interesting. The defense in their opening statement says that Michelle would provide an alibi witness for Foley that night, but she never takes the stand. So what
Why?
Do you think happened there? Apparently they didn't call her because maybe her story changed, I think.
You think she flipped on
Foley? She got cold feet.
Yeah.
She wasn't willing to lie for him anymore. I think she's a fair weather friend. I think she was ready to stick with him if he won. And if he didn't win, she was going to jump ship. Her story, I think, got changed, or she wasn't as a reliable witness as they were hoping she was.
Yeah, I think they didn't. Oh, well, they can't put
but
her on the stand,
it.
Right?
You don't promise right. something in the opening statement if you're not going to deliver on it.
You definitely don't, but you can't put Michelle on the stand because the prosecution will rip her apart, right? Like, they will come at her with everything they've got.
But instead, the jury will be like, well, where was she? She wasn't even in the courtroom.
Right. And she's also unbelievably unsympathetic. So they're going to be like, oh, yeah, her boyfriend did it. She hated him or blah, blah, blah. She was a terrible wife. And they're going to convict him based on how awful she is. Honestly, that's probably what they were worried about. I wonder how they put that to her. You're a terrible person. We can't put you on the stand because you repel people. I hope it was
something
like
that. I love when they
try
to tell like Robert Durst that. And he's like, no, I think I can win them over.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, Bobby Durst.
No, seriously, we cannot stress this enough. You are off-putting and the jury will be scared by you.
But I've got my clean press short on. And I'm going to wear my new sweater. I went to Bergdorf's and I got this new sweater. Put me on the stand, coach. I'm ready to go in. I'm ready to fight.
A chicken salad sandwich.
Do you have any more of those crackers they had at the cafeteria? Because I'd love some more of those crackers next time. I'll eat them real quiet.
You've made up for Jimmy Stewart.
We're
good now. Yeah,
okay, that's
100%.
Good. All right.
The jury discusses for 4 hours, and then they ask the judge to define reasonable doubt, which is very interesting. But eventually...
That's terrifying, right?
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
That means, like, oh, crap. He's going to get off. I thought, I was like, well, I don't think he gets off, but that would make me so nervous.
Oh, yeah. If I
was like
the
prosecutor, by the way, didn't you?
Yeah,
definitely.
When
he was talking about like everything, I don't know. He just seemed like a good guy.
Yeah. They finally find him guilty and give him a life sentence. And now, again, Leidick is saying that she has not a single doubt that she knew it was him. Thoughts? Because you really loved her.
I didn't really love her. I did like her, though, and I like having a female.
I love having a female
lead detective.
Yes,
I just liked her. I don't know why. I liked how straightforward she was. I liked how she dealt with everyone.
Listen, at the beginning, I was ready to invite her to join.
I
Marcia
was too.
Marshburn.
I wrote it down, but now I guess not.
No, you still can believe that. We don't have to agree on everything.
No, but I see what you're saying. I see that there was. Again, a path diverged in the woods. And she should have done the right thing. And even if it was just a formality, she should have interviewed Foley within the first 48 hours.
Yeah.
It was the normal thing to do. It was weird to not. Also, mm-hmm. it was a weird dateline because we don't find out about him until way later because the investigation was so weird.
Because you know they were saying? Interviewing right. all the other people that it could have been, yeah.
And the fact that you called in a psychic before, well, they didn't call in a psychic.
But she went along with the tour of the psychic. She followed them around the house and listened to what they had to say. No,
I think she has to be. She's not going to let a psychic go in a crime
well,
scene.
Well, that right. makes sense.
So, but...
But that she even approved it and was okay with the psychic visiting the crime scene before even interviewing the spouse. It's weird. Well, she never interviewed the spouse. We've covered that.
It's tricky. I see what
it's tricky. Yeah. And now she's saying she knew it was him the whole time, kind of, or maybe
I think she just knew in her heart it was him.
She knew in her heart that it was him. And or maybe she just believes that now that the trial has gone through and she's heard everything. Again, she's the one with the evidence, so she shouldn't be hearing this. You know, I don't know. So now this DNA science that this guy came up with is now widely accepted as like the standard.
Yeah.
So Mr. Mars and Venus can go suck it.
Yeah, seriously.
And then the friend who I liked has a photo in a frame of him and John, and it says brother from another mother. So it was very touching.
It's so sweet how they closed this episode. It was really well done.
Yeah, he had some really good people in his life. Speaking of friends, this episode is dedicated to our Patronus, Amanda J. Girl, you've been with us for over a year.
Aw.
She thinks she's a little bit Kimberly, a little Katie, because she cuts people no breaks and tells it like it is. But she also has no less than 8 eyeshadow palettes and 4 cats and lives for a good pun. So
what's
I think
your favorite
she's
palette?
Way more of a Katie.
What's your thoughts on the conspiracy palette?
Amanda is also busy running marathons and half marathons because she's crazy.
No, because she's healthy. She's a good exerciser. Yeah,
she's
good for you.
A motivated, active person. She's ran 4 marathons and 9 half marathons.
Oh my gosh.
But she also lives for a good Law and Order. What marathon? Come on.
That's
it all comes
great.
Full circle. Are you listening to These Are Their Stories, Amanda?
Thank you, Amanda.
Anyways, Amanda, thank you, Amanda.
You're a trooper, but not a state trooper.
Not a state trooper.
Not like Kevin Foley.
You're a super trooper.
Super trooper, beams are gonna fly me tiny lights.
Like the sun. Dun, 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 dun. Smiling, having fun.
Feeling like a number
one.
Ding, ding, ding,
like
ding,
Amanda.
Ding. I really wish we could insert music. If I could, Amanda, I would.
Do it for you. So also, the lawyer of John with the fabulous hair.
The lawyer of John. I like that. Like brother of John. Mother of John.
I sometimes like to talk like I'm on Handmaid's Tale.
I know.
She seemed very smart. My mom would have said she was smart as a whip.
There we go.
She is the aunt of our Twitter friend, Katie.
Oh.
So that's pretty cool.
Hey.
Because she didn't she didn't embarrass herself. She did an A+ job, I thought, on the show. There was nothing for us to mock about her. And so that means that you were a super success story.
Oh, I'm sorry. You mean the fancy lawyer with the gorgeous hair?
What did I just say? The fabulous hair. Yes. She was a rock star, right? Doesn't she seem like I would hire her to be my lawyer. She's the lawyer that John said, take my money. Because I know I'm going to be murdered.
Oh, yeah. I said she is classy and smart and amazing hair in all caps.
Mm-hmm.
Classy and smart. She was smart and like a perfect interview. Her office was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was a winner.
She was a Dateline.
How fun that's your aunt.
For us, it's a little boring because we would prefer if she did something embarrassing that we could make fun of. But she didn't. She did amazing, Katie.
What kind of gifts does she give you?
Oh, interesting.
Like, did she give you a Nordstrom gift card? I mean, she might give Nordstrom gift cards. That's a good
Katie,
gift.
Katie, reach out. Let us know, please.
I feel
she has a picture she posted of her with Queen Andrea. They both look fabulous.
Oh, my gosh. I bet they were buds. I bet they got along.
Oh, Andrea respects other smart women, so I bet they were, for sure. Definitely. B-roll bonanza?
Yeah.
There was one where they did the twin psychic sisters. They're standing just looking into space.
Uh-huh.
And they pan from one really dramatic pan to the next one. So I felt like it was like a double B-roll. We don't see that often. Kind of made me excited.
It is, and it was perfect for them, I felt like.
And then, yes, it totally is perfect that they should be staring out into space too. The office of Leidic, I'm talking a lot like that now.
The office of Leidic.
Yeah. Did you see the papers? What was up with that?
What? Well, I had a lot of questions about, was that her office or was that, again, are we like in a prop office? Like it's not her real office because there wasn't enough stuff.
Who puts papers up like that? Okay, so what we're trying to say is that there's a bunch of loose leaf, like 8.5 by 11 papers, and with stuff written on them, not pictures, not like photos of suspects, like something's written or typed on each one. And instead of putting them up kind of like on a bulletin board or with red string connecting them like we'd normally see, or haphazardly with like post-it notes, they are put up at eye level in a single line, taped up all around the office on multiple walls of the office.
It's efficient.
It was almost like wainscoting. Like
it is a little bit.
It was very strange. And she just would walk from one to the other. I mean, it is efficient because your eyes don't have to go up or down.
Right.
It's good for your neck health. You keep your posture up.
Exactly. Efficiencies. Maybe she has poor neck health. Maybe that's exactly what's happening.
That could be.
She seemed in excellent shape, though. I doubt it.
Yeah.
But maybe. You never can tell. I don't know.
No, you can't.
So, but I did.
And she's not reaching out to us after this episode.
So. I did. Know. Why not? I was kind. I think you were kind, too. You were fine. It's just that we struggled because she knows some of the decisions are hard. Mm-hmm. And she also knows coming on Dateline that she's going to be super scrutinized, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But no, her whole office got me. There's nothing in it. It's like a stapler.
It looks like it did. You're right. It looks like they rented out a
prison.
But even because even a rental office would have like a fake plant and a chair.
She had nothing.
There was a desk, but there was nothing on it.
No Beanie Baby. No like normal thing that you'd see. Not even a.
She has four children. No pictures. This couldn't have been her office. She has pictures of her kids,
this wasn't her office. This was
a side office, but it was the
neatest. Is she still a corporal? Did she?
I don't know.
Maybe by the time this was interview happened, is she not with the police force anymore? Did she give it up?
I don't know. I wouldn't blame her.
Or wouldn't either, because this was a doozy. I would not blame her at all. Mm-hmm. Did you notice that John Yelnick looks a lot like Sean Hayes in a lot of his pictures? Did you see it at all? Did anyone see it on Twitter?
No, someone saw something else. I can't remember who, but I think it's on my Twitter.
Hmm.
He had a very specific smiley face that did remind me of somebody. I don't know if it was Sean Hayes, but I could see it being Sean Hayes.
It was I love Sean Hayes. Yeah. It made me.
Who doesn't love Sean Hayes? Do you have any titles?
No good ones. I really want to get somewhere with this one, so maybe you can help me. Do you have any?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Do you have any?
No.
Not one?
Psych.
That was really good. Was that on purpose that you did that?
Uh-huh.
Oh. It was still very clever. How about, I really wanted to call it the Gel Creed for some reason. I don't know, because that's the kind
of
shoe. Oh,
that was the kind of the shoe.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I liked it. DNA 6. I got real into the A6 guy. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
The Foley effect, because of Foley sound effects, and there was all the sound stuff with the neighbors.
I love it.
Is there a song called The Dentist or I Love a Dent in Little Shop of Horrors?
I am your dentist.
Yeah, I kept thinking of that. And then I really wanted to get somewhere with Bud Wiser than the something.
Oh, I like it.
I was trying really hard. Yeah. What's like a idiom with wise in it? Think of a wise one.
A wise man suffers no fools.
Yeah, so a Budweiser kills no husbands.
Something like that.
It was close.
That's good.
See what I'm saying? Okay, I tried to get there, but I couldn't quite.
I like it.
Thank you. All right, twit.
Dateline producer says that Foley's teammates say he wasn't hurt during hockey that night. Remember, he said that he had a scar on his face, an injury that was from hockey. This was when they finally, like, someone talked to him. Wasn't it an interview? But he was saying he had a thing on his face that was from hockey. He ended up with a different story. So he changed his story after that when they went and talked to the police. So they were talking to somebody. Like, the police were
They were skirting around him, skirting just, around not, the issue. Just not talking yeah. to him. Okay.
Yeah. DA1 Political V says, the furnace room is the scary place in Home Alone. That's how sad it is. It's true. Do you remember he thinks that furnace is going to eat him? And he's terrified of it. And he runs upstairs. Traumatized me as a child.
Yeah, I remember that part. That was not good.
You're a lamb. Didn't pay attention for like 30 seconds. And now we're talking about psychic sisters?
That's a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, it is. I Heart Goat. The psychic sisters blink more than any humans I have ever seen, and the cop does not seem to know how to. Natural enemies.
That's clever.
Oh, Lori Aikman Brown said that she thought the trooper, Foley, thought he looked like Dwight from The Office. I could kind of see it. This smirky little smile.
I was stuck on... the trooper did. Yeah.
The trooper.
Yeah, a little bit. That's true. Sorry. Stuck on John and Sean Hayes.
I Heart Goat again, he was very funny on Twitter. Wow, shocked. DA and trooper in the small town of 11 people, PA, have had coffee at the local coffee shop. I don't know this man, says the DA repeatedly to anyone within earshot during their weekly lunch.
That's amazing. Who are you? Why are you sitting here?
Why do we keep sitting here together? That's Life said, small town, everyone knows the state trooper is dating the dead man's wife and speaks disparagingly about him, but we're going to close our eyes and follow psychics around.
Wow.
Alba South, this state trooper looks like he got human feces bagged and labeled in the fridge in his garage.
Super pooper trooper.
Wow. Ergo Likulno. Don't know how to pronounce it. Michelle moved to another country to wear a foreign beer dress.
Heineken.
There you go.
Imports only.
Then Ergo said, everyone thinks the Budweiser girl is the one.
That's really sad. But also, hey, do you think it's weird that we never hear the end of like that she took care of his mom? But did his mom die? And did she do it?
Maybe.
Okay. I mean, is that the reason they told us that part of the story? Because we're supposed to infer that. Okay. All right.
We think she killed the mom, we're saying.
Do you think she killed the mom?
Well, now I do.
Okay. Well,
I didn't before.
All right. I'm saying it's an easy jump now.
Kate said, this would crack me up. Hold up. She had two Budweiser dresses? And Eminem Mundane said, she was a Budweiser girl for a time. And Kate said, oh, I missed that. Thank you. So Kate wasn't the only one. There were two other people who kept going, why? What girl has a Budweiser dress like that? Why does that girl have two Budweiser dresses? Because they totally missed that she was, she did that for a living.
Yeah,
that was not a fashion choice.
That's her J-O-B.
That she was, that she opted to wear that to parties. That was her going out dress. It kills me.
She like pretended to be a Budweiser girl. That'd be even better.
Yes,
and try to exactly. get like free drinks. Hey, I wonder if anyone's ever tried to do that and be like, hi, I'm here from Grey Goose. And you're just wearing like a goose outfit. And you're like, I need a round of shots for that table over there. And it's just, they're like, oh, okay, it's free. Somebody try that and let me, don't try that. I don't want anyone to get arrested, but.
Yeah. It's like on Parks and Rec when they're trying to get free drinks. Andy and...
April, right.
Ergo again said, for a girl in a Budweiser dress, Michelle is not that hot.
It's 2006. I don't know.
She was hot for 2006.
Is she? I don't know.
Is
I don't
that
remember.
What, we're
what is what was fashion of 2006?
Is that what we're saying?
I have no memory.
Brad Milner, about the blood seeping through to the basement, said, nah, the blood is just a sign of cheap flooring. Hashtag be better.
Hashtag laminate that.
okay, this one got me. Dateline producer said, remember the mail in the slot by the front door of the murder scene? The mailman stepped past the shards of glass and blood and put the mail in the slot. Go figure.
Dedication.
So Brad Milner said, neither snow, nor rain, nor heat, nor blood, nor bone matter.
No. Wow. That should be their new Christmas commercial.
Right?
Yeah.
But also, again, no matter what's with the people in this town? No bone matter what.
Wow. Bone matter what?
But why is no one in this town calling the cops when they see or hear weird things? That's insane to me.
There might be a ghost in the town. Maybe the town is haunted.
And they're just used to stuff like that?
Just like, yeah.
Oh, it's just lots Chester. Of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. He caused
chaos
again.
No, but it's like a family of ghosts. It's like a long lineage of, like, I'm talking like Roanoke Island ghosts where everyone's coming back with pitchforks and like people are dying like on the harvest moon every year. So they're like, whatever. Somebody died. It must be a full moon.
Oh, Esmeralda said, oh my God, first the neighbors hear screaming, then the mailman just delivers mail like there wasn't blood all over the broken window. What kind of neighborhood is this? I hear someone fart. I'm investigating.
Oh, wow.
I'm with you.
She's like you. Yeah, that's good.
I'm with you.
Yeah. I need to be more vigilant.
No, just paranoid. Jeff Modzelewski. I got it that time.
Good job. You did.
Jeff? I try every time, Jeff. Not exactly the best take your kids to work day.
Yeah, wow.
Theora Lamb, LOL at the 4 seconds where I thought the 9-year-old went next door to hang out with the 39-year-old dentist. God, I love Yura Lamb's observations, especially when she's drinking.
Yeah, that's really good.
Kat VDW said, text I just sent to my children, watching Dateline about a dentist who predicted his own death. The narrator said, I said to your dad, he must have had a feeling about it.
Oh, God. Okay, hold on. We have so many teeth titles that we could have
now,
done.
Kat said, maybe they'll get to the root of it.
Kat, you're ruining my week.
Kat just really outshined you. Really sorry.
I can't believe I didn't go for teeth on the titles. I am so disappointed. I'm sorry, everyone, if I let
I'm
you
so
down.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, Kimberly.
And also, if anyone else needs me to have another win right now.
Oh, God.
Our listener, Karen, bought one of my cross stitches from my cross stitch shop, Stitches Be Crazy, with a K on Etsy. And she said in her review of the product, 5 stars, I don't care what Katie says. The handwriting on the label was perfect. Also love the cross stitch.
Well, she's just straight up lying to you, but that's all right. I know pandering when I hear it. What's her name? Karen?
Karen. Come on.
Karen, I want to speak to your manager. Service is terrible. The handwriting is atrocious and abysmal. Oh,
my handwriting is not, sometimes you got to accept your limitations. And I know that I don't have there's something about the muscles in my hand.
Your hands are too small.
Grip the pen properly.
Too small.
It gets tired really fast.
Child hand in an adult
person.
But
I can cross stitch for hours. It's just writing. I write like one
sentence. Why do you
think
child labor is a thing? What? They need tiny hands. I mean, there's jobs all around the world for you.
You know how beautiful the writing was when his car got vandalized? That was like how I wish I could write. And
you can.
The opposite.
You just have
I
to
can't.
Practice.
I've tried.
You're not practicing. You're not putting dedication
I practiced all through high school. I tried. I changed like my E's to make them cuter and I had hearts in there.
No, that's not. That does not make cute penmanship. Hearts.
Okay, I'm going to actively try to work on my cursive calligraphy skills.
Did you try to do the way you do your A's? Did you ever do them like
I changed my A's.
Yeah, I did. I used to do that a lot. That was fun. The changing of the A's.
It made me cool.
I remember. And I'd ask like all my friends, is this good? Should I write my A's like this? And it was like a big deal. Way bigger than it should have been.
Be like, Mom, I have a lot going on right now. I'm changing my A's this week.
Changing my A's. I'm going for the, what's it called? The typography A?
Yeah, exactly. I totally did that to try to be cool. Yeah, it did not work. Spoiler alert.
No, spoiler alert. It doesn't work for anyone.
Cool. The girls that were really cool, they didn't care. They just like naturally wrote with their A cool.
Did they?
Or maybe, cool girls, let us know. Did you practice changing your A's? And was your cool actually hard work? Or did it come very easily?
But didn't we learn that cool girls were also just like...
Just like
nerd
us.
Girls, and then cool girls were also just like horrendously insecure. I think that's pretty much it was across the board. You just never knew it.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I don't know a lot of people that were like, high school was the best and I was amazing. I've never, where are those
But were
people?
They practicing their A's?
Yes.
I want to specifically know about the A's.
Too. Me too.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening and follow us
Thank
on
you.
Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, and subscribe to us, please, and leave a review on iTunes. It can be about my penmanship or whatever.
Anything.
Just whatever. Don't watch alone. Watch with the Psychic Sisters of Pennsylvania, and
the Vincents.
They'll read your aura and somehow tell that you are a human being and not one of the humans from Mars or Venus.
Wow.
Fabulous. They were pivotal in solving this case, guys.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to think of all of the titles that I missed. There were so many opportunities in this. It's like, it's hurting my brain. I got to go. I got to go get something to eat. My brain's going to
I understand.
Explode.
I have a feeling about it.
Oh, my God. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
So upset.